It's time to go Bull Speed Ahead with Michael Kelly. We roll through the latest news on the Bulls from the viewpoint of the man who oversees the program, Vice President of Athletics, Michael Kelly. We hope you're ready because it's time to go Bull Speed Ahead.
Well, for this week's edition of Bull Speed Ahead, I'm excited to have I felt a little bit of a chill in the air today when I walked into the office, and that must mean basketball season's just around the corner. And by chill here in Tampa Bay, it means it's almost mid-70s, so it feels really good. But basketball's in the air. Basketballs are bouncing in the MUMA basketball facility, and we're glad to be joined here today by none other than Jose Fernandez. So, Jose, welcome to the podcast.
Good to be here, Michael. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you and I have you've talked in different forms with the media, and you and I have talked a lot over the course of the spring and summer. But how have you and your staff adjusted to all the adjustments that COVID has required, and how has your team responded? How do you feel about them after a week or two of practice?
I feel really great about our group and our staff. There wasn't a playbook for this, as you've always mentioned. I think, you know, they've handled it really, really well in the spring and summer. All student athletes around the country, this has changed the way that they train, they lift, they condition, they practice, the way that they study. So I think now with basketball starting up, even though we had 17, 18 team workouts and we had an array of perimeter and post-developmental workouts, now with 6 practices under our belt, I feel really great about this team. I think they're united, and we had an opportunity to bring in a guest speaker and work with our team for 3 days and during the off season. They were also engulfed in reading a couple books to get them prepared for this season. So I like the energy. I like the enthusiasm. I think, you know, it's without a male scrimmage team, also without COVID, practices going at each other has been very, very competitive, which that just speaks to the depth of this team.
Well, that's another great point. Just looking at some of the adjustments to the COVID environment, we often have a whole team of male practice players that are typically really good, give us great tests, give us some rest, and it's been not being able to get in the right testing protocols. That's just another adjustment your staff has had to make.
Yes, and right now we've kept our 3 assistant coaches, our director of basketball operations, and our video coordinator, our 3 managers, athletic trainer, strength and conditioning coach, and our players all in the greatest bubble that we can right now. And What I've been really glad about is the responsibility that our players and staff have been taking during this pandemic. And our players go from Malibu Apartments to the Pam and Les MUMA Center to Champions Choice, and that's a routine every day. And of course, they're taking all their classes online, and they meet with our academic advisors and our tutors daily. But that's all online.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything's changed for
I think just like most of our listeners realize that all of us have dealt with that to some extent, but the fatigue of the constant technology is it's been great. We wouldn't have been able to progress as far as you've discussed here without it, but having that in-person interaction in a safe way is really important, and glad that our team has been able to adjust to that. Now, one thing that it has probably taught us all, though, is also just a renewed sense of patience. So there's so many decisions that unfortunately can't be made as quickly as the past. For instance, we usually have our schedule by now for a couple of weeks. You've dissected it and everything else. Right now, we're still working on finalizing some things with that, which everyone in the country is dealing with right now. But one thing we do know for sure is that we have made a temporary adjustment for this year only in the American for women's basketball to go what we normally play 16 games to 20 games. And I think you and I were both in full support of that for this year, but we're also in full support of having 16 games normally for women's basketball. Maybe explain, you know, why we've made that adjustment and why the nuance for both this year adjustment, but then why it makes sense for the normal schedule for the American Athletic Conference.
Well, as we headed into the fall semester and NCAA football starting, we knew the implications were going to affect men's and women's basketball. We had 14 really great non-conference games, and that right now is down to 4 because we went from 30 total games to now being able to play 25. Or you can play 23 games and then a multi-team exempt tournament. to alleviate the stress and make it a lot easier, because a lot of institutions around the country are not traveling as much for non-conference games. Budgetary constraints and schedule constraints. So right now, going to 20 games, right now currently we have 4 non-conference games, and we're still waiting to get one more. We'll open up our season on, the season was supposed to open on November 10th, and now you're allowed, the first day that you can actually play a game is November 25th. So we're going to open up the season here at home against Jacksonville on November 28th. Then we will have Baylor December 1st here at home, and then Mississippi State on December 5th. We'll go to finals and then come back, and we'll have Stetson, and we'll have another in-state team. And right now we're looking at getting, you know, a top 30, top 40 game to finalize to get us another great RPI, strength of schedule opportunity. In our league, losing UConn was a big hit from a scheduling standpoint, from a strength of schedule standpoint, and also the magnitude of their program on what they added to the American Athletic Conference from a recognition standpoint. So we got to really be creative when we go back to 16 league games, or we have those 14 non-league scheduling opportunities, and playing 2 tournaments where we're going to get 5 really good non-conference games on a neutral floor, and continue to have 3 or 4 top 25 home and home games.
Appreciate you talking us through that. Clearly, you mentioned having Mississippi State and Baylor coming here this year, huge games for us. You've made it's been your philosophy all along to continue to add to your to have a very strong and certainly one of the strongest non-conference schedules in all of college basketball. But talk about how you're able to kind of put some of those deals together to be able to have a Baylor and Mississippi State coming here to Tampa is a big deal for us. I assume not only your years of coaching, but different boards you serve on and connections. But just speak to relationships, how the role they play, and how you've been able to help us continue to get great games for your program.
Like you said, Michael, it's about relationships, and I think we've built one of the best basketball programs in the country. Last 2 years, we haven't been able to go to the NCAA tournament. Our season ended up cut short because of COVID. We were going to play in the NIT. But in the last 9 years, we've won 19-plus games, 6 20-win seasons and 3 19-win seasons. So I think not only relationships, the success of our program has been able to get us home and homes with Oklahoma, Ohio State, Louisville, Mississippi State, those type of top-tier programs, and being able to serve, of course, it doesn't hurt serving on, being involved with our coaches association and the committees. You know, I'm the chair of the All-America committee that selects the 10 best players in the country every year. And when you do some for a long time, you get to know some very, very good coaches and mutual respect for programs. And I think we have that with our program here. So it's a lot easier to pick up the phone and get great opponents.
Well, we're fortunate and excited about our opportunities this year with Mississippi State and Baylor. So that's going to be really, really good. You know, as we sit here today, the Rays are knotted up in the World Series in a 1-1 deal. The Lightning have just won a championship. The Bucks are in first place. The Rowdies are in the championship. So no pressure to you at all, but, you know, you've got your aspirations for a championship for our Bulls and that sort of thing. So then, you always have that as your goal, and this year's certainly no exception. You want to keep that Tampa championship train running. But going back to the Stanley Cup, I've always been interested, and our fans probably will as well, that a great bit of our team and you and your staff have obviously been great – you know, fans of all of our teams. It's Team Tampa Bay, but of the Lightning. And we were able to have the Stanley Cup. Lightning were nice enough to bring it here for our student-athletes and staff to see here this week. But tell me about the captivation of Lightning fever amongst your team.
I think, you know, Tampa Bay Lightning and Mr. Vinnick just has created such a great partnership with USF Athletics. And it's one of the best organizations. You hear it not only in Tampa, but all around the country. So being in this town for 21 years, and the energy and excitement when you go to a Lightning game, but it starts also with how you, when you walk in that door and how you're greeted, and the atmosphere and the energy, and the amount of stuff that the organization does in this community. How can you not be a fan and support them? But when you have so many international players as you do on a team, hockey is very, very big in Europe. Mm-hmm. Our kids have really, really embraced hockey in Tampa Bay. So I tell you what, Beatriz Jordão, who there's no hockey in Portugal, might be the biggest hockey fan that you will meet. She does not miss a game. You know, she's been to the games. Kristina Bravankova comes from a hockey family. Her dad played professionally, and her brother is one of the top young prospects. He's projected to get drafted next year. So it's really neat because it's a little bit of taste of home for them as well to get to enjoy and support a team like the Lightning here in town.
Well, just another recruiting asset for you to promote our hockey team here in town when people come to Tampa to play basketball for the Bulls. It's funny, where we set up the Stanley Cup was right outside my window, which is it was located on the west berm of the soccer stadium. And as I would glance out there occasionally to see the progressive line that was there, but I saw everyone seemed excited to want to take that picture with that trophy, but. You mentioned Jordão. She did look giddy in line, just almost half dancing with anticipation to walk up to her time to get a photo with it. So it was fun to see her excitement. Lastly, Coach, another great Team Tampa Bay member is our Tampa Bay Sports Commission, our the leader of that being Rob Higgins, who's got so many great ties here to our athletic department and worked with you a lot in the past. But just delivered another great slate of events. They're going to come here to Tampa in the coming years, and one of them is in 2025 to bring the women's basketball Final Four here once again for the fourth time. And just knowing that you've been involved with those in the past and certainly helped with all the different community events surrounding the game, but what does that mean to you as an individual? What does it mean to our program to be able to host that? And just women's basketball as a sport in general here for the Tampa community, just curious on your thoughts and what it means for us.
You know, Rob's a dear friend. And I still remember in 2000 when he was working for Seth Greenberg, and I was named interim head coach and didn't know my way around Tampa, and the way that's how our friendship started. And now 21 years later, he's running, in my opinion, the best sports commission in the entire country. Not only Final Four, but having the Super Bowl here, mm-hmm. and college football playoff, and the Frozen Four, volleyball national championship, the first and second round of men's tournament. It's one event after another. And I think when we host it here for the fourth time, we're the only city in a short amount of time to host a Final Four four times. I think it just continues to bring the excitement of big-time basketball to the Bay Area. It gets our youth and travel organizations and high school basketball programs more involved, getting grassroots basketball in this area built up in the entire Bay Area. Last time when it was hosted, we just got it. We went to that quarterfinals in the NIT, but the previous time we had 6,000-7,000 in our building, beat LSU, and then lost in the final minute against Louisville. That was the year that we were hosting, and you take pride in an event like that, and I know our university and our basketball practice facility and the Yuengling Center will be showcased during that time. But that's the goal of every coach and basketball program and student athlete, to compete at the Final Four. So it just gives you a little bit more taste to work a little harder and to recruit and develop. That when it comes to Tampa Bay, that we're one of the four teams to be playing in it.
Exactly. It'd be really, really special. Gives us something to shoot for all the time, dream big. Obviously, even with us hosting the Super Bowl this year, it's never happened in the 55 years that the Super Bowl host has ever played in their own stadium. It's happened once before. They've played in their own city, but never in their own stadium. So hopefully the Bucks can be the first to do that, and Jose Fernandez's squad can do the same here in 2025 for the Women's Final Four. So, well, Coach, thank you for all you do, and I can hear the excitement in your voice. I could see it at practice the other day with the energy from the team, and I know we're all just eager to put the season schedule in place, and let's go after it and pursue another NCAA berth and an AAC championship, and wish you well. So thanks for joining us on Bull Speed Ahead.
Thank you for having me. There's great excitement basketball-wise You know, not putting any pressure on Brian, but, you know, that's we talk about it. We want to be the first coaches here at the University of South Florida to take both programs to the NCAA tournament in the same year. It's never been done before. So I'm really excited for him, his team as well. They're going to be really good, and so are we. So Bulls fans, come out, support us, and look forward to hopefully seeing you here in the Yuengling Center.
Tampa Bay's home for hoops. It's all coming to fruition. We love it. Thanks, Jose.
For the next airing of Bull Speed Ahead with Michael Kelly, check out our schedule on Twitter. Follow us at Bulls Unlimited.